Go with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. As we're going to the book of Exodus, I want to share with you, I believe God has given me a word today, and I want to make sure that you get this. In Exodus chapter 14, we're picking up a story, and the story is dealing with the children of Israel. They have been in bondage 400 years. In other words, they have lived in a level of servitude or slavery 400 years, allowing not just the Israelites we're hearing about here, but individuals that have died in bondage. It has been a legacy of bondage, if you will. It has been a history of bondage that they have grown up in, that they have learned and they have embraced as part of their life. Sometimes we could be in something so long that it's almost acceptable. And we tend to think that's the way it ought to be. Sometimes these things could affect us in who we are, or at least who we think we are. And there are times where God literally has to invade our world to help us understand who we really are meant to be. Today, I believe I'm speaking to you from that premise. I'm going to talk to you because some of you have dealt with some serious struggles, and you thought the struggle defined you. You thought what you went through, what you were going through, the length of the time you had to deal with it, all of that defined you. I'm asking that you would be open today to hear the word of God, because I believe the Holy Ghost wants to talk to you for real. Not just to say this was a sermon, not just to say, no, I believe that there's some things going on and God wants to talk to you about it. I will give you my title at the end, because if you can see what I'm saying, the title will be real easy to sum up what I said. Exodus chapter 14, let's start at verse 8. The Bible says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand." So it says that they were being pursued. But even though they were being pursued, it says literally when they went out with a high hand. That word high hand has to do with almost a level of just utter defiance. When they were leaving Pharaoh, they were like, oh, yeah, we up out of here now. I don't care what you say, what you do. We out of here now. There was a level of defiance in their voice, a level of defiance in their stature, a level of defiance in everything they were saying. Finally, we up out of here. They had some swagger. Oh, I want you to understand something, because I know the Holy Spirit has talked to me about this. Listen to this. Some of us went out on a high note because of what we were experiencing at the time. Let me tell you what I mean. We heard a word from God and we embraced it as a word from God. It's over now. That thing is done. You ain't got to worry about it no more. And you went out with a high note of defiance. Okay. Amen. Yes. But Sometimes the high note doesn't last long because things aren't turning out quite like you thought it would. I thought I wouldn't have to deal with this anymore. I mean, after all, that was why I was on the high note. I thought this was my chance to be free of this thing. God delivered me. But you know, sometimes our liberty seems less enjoyable when what we left is now pursuing us. It ain't that you didn't leave, it's just pursuing you now. What do you mean, Pastor? It's pursuing you mentally in your thoughts to the point where you just want to scream. See, people don't know what's on the inside. What are those things that you lay down with and you get up with? I mean, it's pursuing you. What about those people? Why don't they just leave me alone? You know, there are some people you really wish that they would just literally disappear. Oh, I can't get no amen. I know you don't want, I mean, I ain't saying you say want something to happen to them, but you want. They ain't here no more. It's all right. There's just some people, they pursuing me. I'm in Walmart and I see them. Oh, really? Well, have you ever gone somewhere that you think you're not going to see anybody? Yes. And not only, how did you get here? I mean, that's literally, well. See, there's some things that are pursuing us. Look at this. Pursuing you financially where it looks like there's no end in sight. I think about, you know, maybe when, sometimes you engage in purchasing an item, you don't realize how much it's really going to cost you. Okay, let me help you. Like when you get a credit card and they share something what you call cash advance. Don't that sound like, I mean, the way that sounds, that's like, ooh, they're going to advance me some cash. I mean, that's like a good thing until you get it. And you realize what it's costing you. Well, that thing looked like there's no end in sight. Was it really worth it? Now it's pursuing me. Everywhere I go, when I look at my credit score, it's still pursuing me. See, I'm talking about things that you went out in defiance because it looked like when I got that word, I mean, after all, this is it. God cannot lie. Hey, glory. Oh, you know how we do. That's all right. I'm going to find you in a minute. Verse 9. But the Egyptians pursued after them. Mm-hmm. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pihahiroth and Baal-zephon. There's nothing like being pursued by what once had you bound. What's interesting about being pursued by what once had you bound is you knew what it was like when you were bound. You knew what it was like being in debt. So to sit here and think, okay, that thing is on my heels again. I know what it was like when I missed some payments and then all of a sudden my credit score was affected. It took me time to dig. I know what all of it is like, and here it comes again. Amen. I know what it was like dealing with them knuckleheads and what all of the trouble that they end up getting me in when I was hanging out with them before, and they keep showing up again. I know what that's like. And that same thing that I know what it's like is pursuing me again. But you went out in defiance. Hand raised up. I want to say like when they was standing on the stage in defiance. You went out in defiance. But the question is, did I make a mistake? I mean, Lord, I thought I was shouting because of what you said. And I was expecting some results and I'm like, you know, this is it. This is my time, my season. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Do you fear being overcome by what once had you in bondage? I know you don't, you know, we don't want to say stuff in church, but do you fear by being over, do you fear being overcome by what once had you in bondage? Yes, sir. The Bible says that in the book of Job, Job said this, that thing that I've greatly feared has come upon me. See, Job had something that he was afraid of. And all of a sudden, what he was afraid of came upon him. See, sometimes we can look real good, but what you really fear, some people is, oh, God, I don't want to be back in poverty again, Lord. Please, 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 Lord, let that don't never let that happen to me no more, no more. See, you don't have to say that up in here, but on the inside, it's that fear. It's that fear that, oh, that thing is coming again. Lord, I don't want to get hooked up with that nobody like that again. All of the stuff they put me through, Lord, all don't let them be crazy. Lord, please don't let that be the same kind of person again. See, that thing that you greatly fear. Do you know some people can't deal with relationships now because of a relationship that they had in the past? Because they fear it coming again. See, what is it? Is it something that we're fearing and it's because of what had us before? Just hang with me. It said they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Is it enough to make you cry unto God yet? Is it enough? Hear me, saint. Is it enough to make you cry unto the Lord yet? See, them things, some stuff, oh, well, you know, God, oh, you know, we kind of deal with. Oh, no big deal. But is it enough to make you cry yet? Not just cry, but cry unto the Lord. Verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, oh, Holy Ghost, help us. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Listen to this. After we cry unto the Lord and it looks like nothing has changed, we tend to want to murmur and complain. Amen. Well, Lord, I cried. I prayed about it. It don't look like nothing even happened. So now I'm going to complain about it. Oh, no, you don't say that. You just do that. We also have a tendency to look for someone or something to blame. Moses, you brought us up from Egypt into this wilderness. Last time I was reading the Bible about this story, I didn't see Moses carrying nobody. They walked on their own free accord. But all of a sudden, it's Moses' fault now. You convinced me to leave slavery. How dare you? Because we have a tendency to blame someone or something when things don't look like they're turning out the way we want it to. Because we don't want to be identified with being the problem. Surely it couldn't be something I done. It's got to be somebody else's fault. Surely not me. Just stick with me for a moment. Because I know you may be saying, well, you know, that's them and their situation. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, the Bible says Jesus is asleep on a pillow. In the midst of a storm, he sleep. And there are some people on the ship with him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to sleep, I don't like being disturbed. Because if I'm asleep, it's obviously because I'm tired. And now Jesus is asleep. They decide to wake him up. Now, the interesting thing is not that they wake him up. It's why they wake him up. The why they wake him up, I think it's Mark 4:38. Okay, y'all up there. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Jesus believes in pillows. Hallelujah. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I just feel like the we in that didn't include Jesus. I'm giving y'all a little minute to read it and understand what I'm saying. In other words, don't you care what's happening to us? See that? You preaching better than I'm saying amen. Did anybody else recognize that Jesus is on the same boat that they on? So how y'all gonna perish and he not? And if he can go to sleep, why can't you? But see, there's a tendency to look for someone or something to blame when things don't look like they're going like we want it to. Let me just say it like this. Let's go back to verse 11. But they said unto Moses, so they talking to Moses. He says, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Technically, Moses' life would have been more in jeopardy with Pharaoh than theirs. But you notice there's no concern for Moses. Just like there was no concern for Jesus. Amen. See, when we get in a situation, sometimes it's that every man for himself. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Listen to this. Bondage can affect the way we think, act, and speak. I'm going to stay there just for a moment. Bondage can affect the way we think, act, and speak. They talked like people in bondage. It was better for us to stay over here in Egypt. I'd rather be a slave than die here in the wilderness. Who say you're dying? How did we get from just being camped here to dying now? It was all right when you was marching up out of there with your fist up in the air, declaring that you're free. Now all of a sudden you're talking about dying. See, bondage can affect how you speak. Now look how they're acting. Before you want to throw your hands up in the air, you're like, yeah, Pharaoh, yeah, what you got now? You see us leaving, all right. Now look at you. Wow. We could just go back there and serve. I don't have a problem being a slave again. No problem. I surrender. You surrender and they ain't even threatening you. See how bondage can affect how you act. Look at their thinking. They never really realized what freedom is. They are no longer slaves physically. But mentally, their thinking didn't change. See how bondage can affect how we think, how we speak, and how we act. So now let's think about the bondage you just came out of. Is it still affecting your thinking? Is it still affecting how you act? You know, why? Let me ask you this. Why are some of us so angry? What makes you so angry? What makes your temper so short with everybody? I mean, why is it really like that? God just gave me an aggressive personality. See how bondage has affected how you think? You think you're supposed to have this aggressive personality. No, it's not. Hello. See, no, it's because of what you've come out of. You felt like things should have been better for you than they really are, and you're mad at the world because you need somebody to blame instead of yourself. That's right. Just stick with me. I'm not going to leave you there, okay? But we need to see. You know what? I've learned this. the Holy Spirit was just ministering to me. And I said, he is so awesome. One of the things that we got to understand something is when you don't know where you're going, any place seems like a successful destination.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What are you saying, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that they camped in Pahiroth and Baal-Zephon. Mm-hmm. They right outside of where the bondage was. It looked like we successful until what you left pursues you. Because, see, some of us don't understand where we're going in God. We think as soon as we got out of sin, we got away from going to hell, all of a sudden, we ain't got to go no further. Let me just camp right here. Until what you got delivered from starts to pursue you. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen, but it's okay. It's okay. See, that's why Jesus said, the Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm talking about a freedom that's not just physical. I need to be free in how I think. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if you still thinking slavery, you still thinking bondage. See, I love the story of the children of Israel because we need to learn what it's like to come out of bondage. I'm talking about spiritual bondage. Yes. Amen. Oh, Father, help me. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Really? Today. So this ain't a long, drawn-out thing. Today. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. First thing he says to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let me talk to you. Don't be afraid. Because we tend to fear that thing that had us bound. Don't be afraid. We're going somewhere. We really are. Second thing he said was, be still or stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So be still and watch what God is showing you today. What is God showing you today? Listen to what he's doing. He's letting you know that you don't have to think like you've been thinking. You don't have to act like you've been acting. And you don't have to speak like you've been speaking. But you got to stand still. You can't be afraid. Stop running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Slow down. Okay. People get to we so reactive to everything. Well, what about it? Just stop. Why do we think that God don't have stuff under control just because we don't have it under control? Oh, God, what am I going to do? What you always been doing. What did you do when you didn't know what you was going to do the last time? He was still God then, and he's God now. Sometimes we need to just chill out. We stressed out, full of anxiety, and all this. For what? You got stress on your body, and it's affecting you in all kind of ways. Well, I went to the doctor. They can't find nothing wrong. It's called stress. Your body looking for a way to get rid of it. Some of us, we can't sit down and relax for a moment. I got to do this. I got to do that. Why? What you got to do? Really, what do you have to do? This is self-inflicted stress. So he says, be still and watch what God is showing you today. So I want you to be still and watch what God is showing you today. Watch what he says to him, though. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bear witness to this if it is indeed truth. And I believe it is. Today is the last day that enemy will pursue you. What has been pursuing you today is that last day.
Hallelujah.
I already decided I won't go get excited because y'all ain't gonna get me disappointed. I'm gonna believe His word for me. Now I want to share something with you. Go with me to verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So I'm going to show you something. Watch this. Okay, Holy Spirit. Okay. See, I've tried to subdue myself. Because my wife will tell you, I was ready already. I was primed, and I was trying not to get too hyped before I got here. He says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. See, some of you all, I was sharing this with the leaders. Holy Spirit, thank you. Let me describe your situation. Though you have been outward with people, though you have acted like nothing has been wrong with you, though you have put up, I don't want to say a front, but you put your best foot forward. You tried to show that everything was all right because you've learned to say, I'm blessed and highly favored. On the inside, there were some things where you were just saying, God, I don't know how much longer I can take this. I don't know how much further I can go. And it wasn't that something was happening to you necessarily physically. It was the things that was happening on the inside. It was like stuff was being literally moved and shaking it and shifting on the inside of you. And you couldn't explain this. Husbands couldn't tell their wives how they felt. Wives couldn't tell their husbands how they felt because it was difficult to articulate what was happening on the inside because you were moving in a realm that you couldn't explain. And sometimes it was dry. It was hard. It was rough. It was painful, but not physically painful because you were trying to, what's happening to me? What's going on? I can't explain this. How do I even ask for help? Just want you to know the Holy Ghost is talking about you and your situation. The Lord shall fight for you. For you. That person, you couldn't talk about it. You couldn't put it into words. I can't formulate what's happening. Man, what's going on with you? I'm good, man. I'm good. That's the best you. I'm good. Nothing else I can really. It's going to be all right. Here we go. Pray for me. Pray for me. That's when we came. Just pray for me. Yeah, The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You ain't even got to talk about this one. You ain't even got to talk about this one. Watch this. Now, here's what I want you to see. Contrary to popular belief, this was never about you. Pastor, what do you mean? You said that they came up out of Egypt. They had been 400 years of bondage. You said that. Didn't you say that they was camped right there? Didn't you say they were being pursued? Yes, all that's true. And then I said, it's not about you. It's never been about you. It's never been about me. I know we need a little text for that. This was all about the wisdom of God in dealing with the situation that he simply, watch this, he simply allowed you to be a witness to. Yes, sir. Okay, I know another text. Exodus, again, chapter 14. Let's look at verse 4 now. You remember, we started at 8. Let's look at verse 4. New Living Translation. The Bible says, and once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this. Hello? Anybody home? I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, that enemy will know that I'm the Lord. It wasn't about you. You get to be a witness. See, you didn't know the conversation that happened behind the scenes. This was a conversation between God and Moses, not all of the people. Oh, yeah, you get to be a witness to what I'm going to do, but it ain't about you. So he says, after this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there. They just did what they was told to do. You just did what you were told to do. You just, listen, after bondage, God said you're free. Get up and move. So you just did what you were told to do, but didn't realize that what was pursuing you was already planned out by God so he could get the glory out of what was transpiring. You were simply a witness to it. Oh, God. See, this is how you, watch this. Do you realize the Bible says, and they cried unto the Lord. Do you notice God didn't do nothing? It was already planned how he was going to handle it. Ain't nothing that need to be done. The next thing they did is start talking to Moses. So when you are praying to God and you don't see nothing happening, no, it's already handled. Already handled. Oh, God. Oh, are you hearing me, Lord? Oh, it ain't even about all of it. Already handled. Already done. Because it's not about you. You thought it was all about what you were going. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. It was all about God getting glory on an enemy we couldn't even handle. It was all, let me say that again. It was all about God getting glory on an enemy we couldn't handle. Your debt, you can't handle that. You know, the reality is, you know you can't handle it. But now God's going to get glory on that. Them crazy folks that you hooked up in your past that you can't get rid of, you couldn't handle that. I made the mistake. Yes, it was me. I did it. Yes. And now I can't get. God know that. But it's already handled. He's going to get glory. Now they going to learn who God is. And you get to witness it. Look at this. Let me get to my title now. Verse 15, that's where I've been trying to get to all along. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God said, wait a minute. Well, Moses, why are you up here? Why are you bothering me with this? Watch this. And the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Okay, I already planned this out. He says, wait a minute. Here's what you need to do. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. The Lord the other day, and he ministered to me in a dream. And I was sharing my wife, and it came back to me later when I didn't even realize it. I put it up, he put it all together, and I'm, duh, okay, now I got it. So he says, moving forward. That's my title, moving forward. So he says that they go forward. Now the word forward is interesting. It means to pull up tent stakes. It means to pull up, especially in tent stakes, and to start on a journey. So what he's telling them is, listen, uproot everything else that you had. We about to go somewhere. You worried about what's pursuing you, I'm about to take you somewhere. Let me see if I can do it this way. You worrying about what's coming instead of where you're going. You know why they saw what was coming, Elder? Because they were looking behind them. We're concerned with so much stuff that's behind us. And you don't realize that everything God has for you is in front of you. God didn't tell them go backward, go forward. Pull up the stakes. Pull up the stuff that's been holding you. And now I want you to go on a journey with me forward. Redeeming love, I believe we're at a place where the season has changed. There's a shifting that has taken place in the Spirit of God, and He is moving us forward. Listen, I want to share this with you now. Don't take old thinking into a new plan of action. Don't take old thinking into a new plan of action. We need to embrace what God is doing now. Our culture has changed. I was listening to somebody and they said, if the church, if they brought the 50s back right now, there were some people that we'd be like, oh, that's so wonderful. Yes. Sir. And you know what? As things progress and move on, you know what would stay the same? The church. Why aren't we changing? Why don't you wear, look at the style of clothing you wear. You allow that to change. But what about you? Who are we? Are we changing and progressing with the Spirit of God? He told them, move forward. Pull up your stakes. You can't stay here. Yes, it's right outside of the bondage that you once were in, but this is not what I have for you. There's more for you, but you got to go forward. You're not going to get it here. Yes, you're not in bondage, but it's close enough to pursue you. Close enough for you to still see it. But you got to move forward. You have to move forward. He says, Moses, speak to the people. Notice this. God wasn't the holder. God was not the holder. The people. Now think about this. All we don't read, why didn't they move on their own? Same reason you ain't moved on your own. Same exact reason. Lord, I don't know. Can I do that? Listen, the Lord will fight for you. You get to hold your peace. It's already planned out. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. To do you good. To give you an expected end. It's already planned out, but are you ready to move forward? Well, Lord, I need to see something. What did they see? A simple word, go forward. Pull up your stakes. Well, Lord, I've been thinking about doing some different things next year, and, it's been on my heart, but just go forward. Stop looking behind you. What about is behind you? What about, no. See, you looking at me, but you not understand it. What about is behind you? If he said go forward, what about is behind you? Because we stuck on the what about this, Lord? What about that? Obviously, he's already taken care of that if he said, go forward. So, this is the thing. He said, he told them, God is going to fight for you. He said, you get to hold your peace. But he made sure they had a responsibility. You got to go forward. I'm not going to pull you. I'm not going to drag you. You got to go forward. Well, Lord, I all the stuff I've been through, why don't you leave the bondage in the past? Do you think you don't? You know what? It's amazing. All of them came out of bondage. Everybody had something. But still, it was time to go forward. All of us got something. But where we are now, I'm sharing this with you because I don't want to see you left behind. I don't want to see you miss out on what God is doing. But I promise you, you got to go forward. And listen, watch this. You don't get to go forward when you want to. Well, I'm going to wait and see how it work out for everybody else. Don't look. I don't know. Ain't nobody falling off the cliff up there. I guess I'll take off now. Don't work like that. God told them specifically, sitting right there, Moses, this ain't no time for you to cry to me. Speak to the people. It hinged on the people responding to what God was saying through his servant Moses. You got to go forward. If you want more, this is your time. If you want to do more, this is your time. But you cannot afford to keep looking behind you on what's coming. If you keep reading the story, you'll see God moves. Watch this. It is so awesome. He moves from being in front of them to going behind them to take care of what was behind them. That's why the what about is behind you. We have to move into, what is it you want to do? What is it that's been on your heart? Listen, for some of you, it is business. There's some things that's in you, some things you want to do. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay. You have to understand, you're not just doing business because you want to do business. This is business because God's about to do something that you need to be a part of doing business for his kingdom. Okay, back to our story. Here's the whole thing. The reason you have to go forward is there's somewhere God has for you. There's a promised land you got to get to. There's a destiny that's out there, and you can't get that by staying here. It requires you to move forward. What is happening is we say, well, Lord, we literally do this. Bring it to us. So he says, move forward, pull up the stakes. Stop being comfortable there. You can't stay here. Not going to work. I need you to take the journey with me. I got everything that's behind you, but I need you to take the journey with me. I need you to move forward. Well, Lord, I don't know. I've never been out of Egypt before. I don't know how these things are. Never had to walk through the desert before. What's going to happen with this? See there? You're not going to make it. You're going to die in the wilderness. Because you're too concerned about you instead of following who's leading you. Look at the ones who died off in the wilderness. When they start murmuring, when they start complaining, the things that they were murmuring and complaining about dealt with them, not where God was taking them to. I believe God is taking us on a journey. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying, so I don't want folks leaving out of here saying the wrong thing. Pastor Ted, we leaving. We going to move from this. I ain't saying it like that. I believe there's a spiritual journey God is taking his people on, and right now he is commanding us to move forward. And in order to move forward, you got to change that stinking thinking. You got to move into what God is saying. You got to start speaking what God is saying instead of all of that other mess. That's the kind of change that is absolutely critical and necessary for this moment we're in. I can't explain it any other way. This is the time that you're going to have to say, well, Lord, all right, this is it. I'm all in. That's what it requires. You can't move part of it forward and another part backwards. It's all or nothing. That's where we stand today. That's where I felt that the Lord had on my heart to share with you about us moving forward. I just don't want anybody to miss it. I don't. Because I could imagine those people being there, and Moses is sharing with them, we got to move forward. You know what kept some of them moving forward? What was pursuing them? Because if it wouldn't have been nothing back there, some of them would have said, well, you know what? This place ain't that bad. And you know what some of us would say? This place ain't that bad. All I know, Redeemer Love, this is not what God has promised us. Because there's more than what he has promised us. Sure, this is wonderful. This is enough to say, well, you know, praise God, there is more out there. I got some things that's in my heart that I want to lay out. I believe God wants to do some stuff, but where are we? We got to move forward. I'm sharing this so you will understand that I'm moving forward. And I expect you to move with me. I love you. I want the best for you. But I've learned also you can want more for people than they want for themselves. When I first heard that, I didn't think that was possible. How you going to want more for somebody than they want for themselves? Not only have I seen it's possible, I've seen it actually happens. So what we need to do is move forward. Make up your mind. Evaluate where you are. Amen. Do you really want to stay here? Those that I'm speaking to, let me tell you what you're hearing. You have felt, when I say hearing, it's you have felt that this is good, but it's not satisfying. It's not, Lord, this has got to be something else. Got to be something else to this, you know. It's because he is letting your spirit man know that there is more. See, how can you know the mind of God unless you have the spirit of God? So he's going to speak to you through his spirit, not your mind. So because your mind can't articulate what God is saying, you just feel, it's an uneasiness. It's almost like a restlessness. I'm just restless. I can't. It's because he wants you to move. He is making the nest uncomfortable for you. But you know what happens when the nest get uncomfortable? You fly. Eagles weren't meant to walk around. You fly. You spread your wings and soar. You do what you were destined to do. And that's why God is calling us to move forward. Why have you dealt with the hardships you've done? Because God is literally coming and allowing you to witness that what you couldn't handle, he's dealing with it. So if he can handle what you couldn't handle, whatever else you come up to that you can't handle, guess what? He got that too. I'm finished. That's it. That's all I had.